Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
I'ma tell you what you need to know. I'ma tell you what you need to hear.
All right, you need to know. You need to know. It's brought to you by our friends at Hen House. Hen House has you covered this weekend and every weekend. You know, they've had families in Kansas City covered for 97 years. Founded right here. Operated right here in Kansas City. Get over there to Hen House on your way home. You can go by the delicatessen and bring dinner home for the family. Take a break from making some dinner. Let the delicatessen at Hen House get you covered. Of course, the weekend's coming. A lot of football to watch. You get to get together, have a couple of beers. Check out Harry's Brewery. Everything you need is right there. You can go to henhouse.com and see all the great specials like Corona and Modelo 12-pack bottles. Two for $27. Get over to Hen House right now. Everything you need for dinner, for the weekend, it is all right there. And, of course, always great meat specials back at the meat counter, my favorite spot. Great seafood selection as well. Don't skimp on that. If you want some great seafood, check it out. Things like Atlantic salmon portions. Talking about 6 ounces, they're just $4.99 each. And, of course, 80% lean chuck, just $2.99 a pound. It's at your neighborhood Hen House. Get there. Today, they will take care of you the way they've taken care of me and my family since I was just a little boy running around. Let's get to what you need to know, and that starts with Frank Clark. Always fun to hear Frank Clark. I think he's one of the more thoughtful guys around. You know, he comes across as this big, tough, kind of brooding guy, but he's actually, there's a lot there. Very cerebral guy and a lot of dry wit to him. Today, he was asked by our own Darren Smith about whether or not he had voted early and whether or not any of his teammates had voted early.
I'm not sure what some of the guys have done. I know it's been a large effort on our side as far as just, you know, doing different things and getting people to, you know, get in and make sure they're registered before the deadlines and stuff like that. But, I don't really speak too much, you know, far into that. I don't know people's political, you know, views and how they do that. But myself,
have you early voted?
I plan on it though. Okay. Nah, not at all. I plan on it though. I was just watching the ad last night on YouTube. Tripped out how they doing all this campaign and stuff, man. They be dogging each other. I was watching the campaign like, oh, this they getting crazy out here. Nah, they didn't take it to Twitter. Hey, I said they all on Twitter beefing.
I work on local news. I have to see 3-4 ads per break. It's crazy.
I'm tired of the ads. I'm trying to pay to get them off my YouTube. Listening to the oldies. I'm trying to jam and stuff late night. You know, they popped on Barbara, somebody talking about she's supporting somebody. I said, oh, man, I got to go home. Gotta cut YouTube off.
So if you're a football player, you're just like everybody else. I'm sick of the political ads. Right. Just for the record, though,
yeah,
all of us in broadcasting, we have to take them.
Yes.
Right. And it's part of the process. Right. You got to know the candidates. I'm not hating on the political system. But just so you know, like, we don't have an option of saying we're not going to take that ad. We're required to take those ads. That we don't have a choice. So know that it's the same thing with television as well. So do understand. But what are we down to? 2.5 weeks now, Curtis? Just
yep.
Under 3 weeks, I guess?
Yep.
When it's all said and done. So it's building to a crescendo 2 weeks from Tuesday. And then no more political ads. There you go. I know the sales department's not complaining about the political season.
No.
No, they're all right with it.
Yes.
All right, Frank Clark at the podium. Todd Lebo asking him after the Raider game, where you could say that they had a letdown, maybe a letdown off the Pats, look ahead to the Bills. Is it human nature to just not bring as much effort against a team that you've always, at least in Andy Reid's time here in Kansas City, just dominated?
I don't think so. I think sometimes guys get tired. Sometimes, you know, the effort is it. And I wouldn't say the effort isn't there. Sometimes it's just the plays, you know. Sometimes you might not execute something as well because you probably didn't work it as much, you know, that week in practice, or you probably didn't, you know, think you would, you know, that call would be as important as it may, you know, have been. But it's just things like that. It's understanding that on one of the lighter day practices on the short week, you know, how much execution, how important that is, how important it is to execute when you don't have pads on in practice, stuff like that, where you're initially getting, you know, that contact, you're getting those hits, you're getting that, you know, that live game speed so that when Sunday comes, it's a lot slower for you. But, you know, when you struggle, you have a lot of these difficulties with the changes and different stuff going on. And our, you know, you got our coaches trying to do everything they can to protect us and get us 100% for that next game. You know, sometimes stuff like that happens. You know, like I said, it's football. You know, you got to we knew coming into the season it was going to be challenging. You coming off a championship winning season, you know, and everybody wants to beat you.
Well, that's how it is. Everybody wants to beat you. When you got a champ, when you're a champion, you got that bullseye on your back, and that's what you know the Chiefs are experiencing right now. The Raiders clearly. John Gruden meant it when he said, "I want this game. I will do literally anything to win this game," and they played like that. Steve Spagnuolo talking today. He was asked what he remembers about going up against Le'Veon Bell as a defensive coordinator. How he feels about having him on his team.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's great always to accumulate good football players, and I've got a lot of respect for Le'Veon Bell. I mean, I haven't seen him or gone against him in a long time, but I just remember him a headache. He was so challenging to stop in that what we call dual play that the Pittsburgh Steelers ran, where he would just sit back there and pick and weave, and no matter what you did, it felt like you couldn't stop him for less than 6-7 yards. So a lot of respect for him, good football player, I'm sure. Our offensive guys over here would be really happy to have him.
I couldn't get Eric Bieniemy to confirm it, but the league policy that he would be out against the Buffalo Bills, Le'Veon Bell I'm talking about, he wouldn't talk about him, deferred everything to Andy Reid and Brett Veach. Did talk about the situation that it, you know, what how it affects Clyde Edwards-Helaire and that kind of thing. But 5 days of negative tests have to happen with Le'Veon Bell before he can even come in to the complex. Now, if yesterday was day one, if he got a negative test, if that's 1, 2, Friday, 3, Saturday, 4, Sunday, 5, Monday, do you test that and that's it? That's over? That's it? And you can go? I don't know. I doubt it. I think we're talking about him for the following week before it's all said and done. Other COVID news in the NFL, the Colts reopened their practice facility today after four individuals retest for COVID-19 confirmed that they were negative, so false positives with the Colts, so they were back open. However, the Patriots have canceled their practice and player interviews after a positive COVID-19 test. This is according to sources. They're also awaiting confirmation on a second positive test, so stay tuned with the New England Patriots. That Pats-Broncos game, by the way, keep in mind, that's Kevin Harlan and Trent Green who have had their last two games canceled. Like teams, like, and just so you know, I think they've got some Chiefs games coming up, so be concerned. Be very concerned because they seem to be the guys that always have that game when it's all said and done. The Minnesota Vikings have ruled out Dalvin Cook for Sunday's game against the Falcons with a groin injury. Fantasy players, be aware of that. And Vic Fangio, head coach of the Broncos today on Melvin Gordon, quote, he's come down with an illness that is totally unrelated to COVID and his situation Tuesday night. It's nothing too serious, so until we get the report on it and when he's at Saturday, that will have a major impact on our decision. So where he's at Saturday, we will see what that means for the Denver Broncos. This according to Adam Schefter of ESPN. And finally, some KU news. One, Les Miles not going to West Virginia for the game. And citing personal issues, Kansas senior Sylvia DeSouza announced this afternoon on Twitter that he is leaving the Kansas basketball program. Quote, I have a lot of things weighing on my mind and need to address these by taking time for myself and stepping away from basketball, DeSouza wrote. This was not an easy decision, but it's the best thing for me to do right now. That from Sylvia DeSouza, not going to be a member of the Kansas basketball team. We will take a break, come back. We talked to Kevin Harlan. The Voice of America is next.
The program with Soren Petro.
Hell no. Okay, that answered your question.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Kevin Harlan on the program is presented by Buck Roofing. Sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. 913-384-2680 or rbuckroofing.com. And by Metcalf CarStar. If you get an fender bender, call the experts in collision repair. Metcalf CarStar in Overland Park. Go to carstar.com and search Metcalf CarStar. Metcalf CarStar. Relax, we'll take it from here.
He calls the NBA.
Game! Series! Toronto is one!
NFL.
He digs, he turns, he dives. It is a touchdown.
March Madness.
There's a new member of the Final Four Club, and they hail from Lubbock, Texas.
And even this.
He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. The guy is drunk.
How many jobs Kevin got?
Somebody stop that
yeah,
man.
Yeah, here comes the blue coat.
Oh,
Kevin.
They got him.
He's the voice of America, Kevin Harlan.
Welcome back. You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB as we're coming down the home stretch on a Friday. Hopefully everybody looking forward to a big weekend. We always like to start the weekend with a conversation with our man Kevin Harlan, the voice of America is what he is, from CBS, TNT, Westwood One. He joins us right now on our T-Mobile guest line. Kevin, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Seren. Great to be with you, and another nice weekend here in Kansas City. A little chillier this morning, but it's always good to visit with you about all things sports, and sometimes we get on other topics too, which I enjoy.
Yeah, well, we try. I think we've solved a lot of the country's issues here.
Yes.
You know, I mean, we do what we can, no doubt.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, did you have a chance to chat with Bill Belichick earlier today?
I did. We before I left Kansas City, I'm in Boston now, making my way down to Foxborough, but he wanted to visit at 8 o'clock our time this morning, and you're always a little bit leery because you respect their time so much. And as we know, Belichick is one of these guys that has every minute planned out, kind of like Saban at Alabama. So you go in there and you're prepared. And I was going to ask him what would it be. And we interviewed Cam Newton yesterday, so after hearing Newton talk about Belichick, I kind of woke up in the middle of the night and said, you know, I think I'm going to ask Bill this when I get my chance. And Trent Green usually begins our interviews and asks about three or four questions, and then I take the middle part, and then we have our sideline reporter, Melanie Collins, who's out of Nashville. She asks the last part. So I was ready to go, and asked him the question that I had, you know, jolted out of bed thinking I was going to ask him at 3 in the morning, and he spent 20 minutes on it. he talked nonstop for 20, and we talked totally for 50 minutes, which is unheard of with him, but he likes Trent, and I think he feels comfortable with our crew, so we had a great conversation with him. It was really, really enjoyable, and I always think it's a privilege to talk to coaches like that who are historical and so successful and have a place on the Mount Rushmore of whatever their sport is. And his is in the NFL, certainly up there with probably Lombardi and maybe Shula, and take your pick on the third guy. But anyway, I always enjoy visiting with him, and we had a wonderful conversation this morning.
Wow, that's awesome. You know, to have him have that kind of comfortable feeling with you, and because we see the crusty, you know, outer shell of Belichick. I hear people. It sounds like you get to see other people say he's engaging. He's actually pretty witty. We've seen maybe little snippets when he does. I know he loved that NFL all-time team, and he sat down with them and gave them a lot of insight, and so you got a little bit more of the real guy. We got a little bit of that great documentary with him and Bill Parcells. What is Bill Belichick without the fists up guarding the chin like we seem to see so often?
Well, I think he's incredibly guarded about his own team, and rightly so, and I get it. You know, some coaches are very forthright, and they'll come out and tell you almost too much, and you go, wow, I can't believe he told us that. And then there are other coaches, and Bill's one of them, that's very guarded, and I have no problem with that whatsoever. We don't deserve any kind of, you know, inside information. If they offer it, great, and we can ask the questions, but aside from that, you kind of go into it just having a chance to just kind of get the temperature of the room more than anything else. And what you came away with, like, for instance, this morning with Bill, who is witty and very engaging and incredibly friendly. And like, I get a handwritten holiday card from him every year. And and have followed up on it after you got, you know, I've done it for so many years, but when I've gone in there, I've gone, hey, listen, is this just like one of those things that he just, you know, rubber stamps and go, no. He has about 40, 50 guys in the outside of the building here that he makes sure that he tries to contact. And, you know, he's a father. He's a dad. In fact, his son is on the staff. So I think he's a loyal friend and all of it. So the question I asked this morning was, it was kind of off of what Cam Newton had told us yesterday. He said that, you know, when he walked in to the situation, he was actually working out in California, and his dad called him in the middle of a workout when he was a free agent and said, hey, we got a team that's really serious about you. And Cam, you know, stepped away from the weights that he was working on and walked outside the gym and said, all right, who is it? And he goes, the Patriots. He goes, what? He goes, yeah, Belichick called this morning. The dad told him. And he said, you got to be kidding me. So, you know, Cam finished that conversation with his dad, and then Belichick had left his personal number, and he called Bill, and they talked on the phone for a long time, and he said he was nothing like what I expected. He said he knew my game inside and out. He knew everything about my injury. He could recite what I had done from year to year with the Carolina Panthers. He told me how I would fit in with his offense. And he said, and then he went, started to talk about the money, and Cam said, I don't care what the money is. He said, I'm sold. I'm in. I'm just, when you want me there. So, like, it was kind of love at first sight in terms of that kind of relationship. So I asked Belichick this morning, you know, this is a little after 8 o'clock in the morning, and Trent began by asking about the Subway commercials, you know, and Bill loved that. You know, you gotta kind of ease into these sessions. And so he asked him about the Subway commercials, and Bill liked that, and they chuckled a little bit. And so then it was my turn after another question by Trent. I said, well, Bill, I got three quick things for you. They just signed a defensive lineman who's not going to play this week, and that was the first one. And then my middle one, which was going to be, one a little bit more expansive, was I've talked to so many coaches, in particular NBA coaches, who tell me the most difficult thing it is to do for a head coach is to coach a fading superstar, in the fourth quarter of his career. Is that tricky for a coach? And you know, if it is, did you observe anybody in your earlier days of coaching, you know, deal with this same thing that you have had to deal with as a head coach? And he was very complimentary and began to talk in expansive, a little over 20 minutes on that one question. And it was fascinating.
Kevin, you had Monday night, right? You had the Chargers and Saints, right?
Yes, correct.
What do you think on Justin Herbert? There's no doubt that he's putting up some big numbers, but there's also no doubt that he's 0-4. And we talked a lot. We mentioned coming into this year how it seemed like, you know, the AFC West has been the AFC East with how easy it's been for the Chiefs to win. Their incredible record against the AFC West, attests to that fact. But we've said, listen, who's got a quarterback, right? And I wasn't a Herbert believer. He's already looking much better than I thought he was going to be. But I do think it's important to win. Right, I do think that's an important part of the equation is to get the wins, and so and right now he's not doing that. They seem to be, you know, a different guy under center, but the same results. They're getting there a different way, but they played just well enough to lose. Now the difference is this isn't Phillip Rivers, like you said, in the fourth quarter of his career. This is a guy that's got nothing but ceiling in front of him. What's your take on how good Herbert's gonna be when it's all said and done?
I love him. I watched his previous two games before we did his game Monday in New Orleans. Downs and no picks. He was beaten to a pulp. He took a hit every time he threw. I think he threw over 30 times. I thought he was just, you know, for a rookie who found out literally as the ball was being kicked off to his offense that he was going in after the doctor for the Chargers had punctured the lung of Tyrod Taylor in an attempted numb killing shot for a cracked rib, and he punctured his lung, and I mean literally it was just and they didn't know, and so they literally, as the ball is end over end going downfield and their offense is going to go out there, Anthony Lynn said, hey, you're going to start because Tyrod can't go. So he couldn't find his helmet. He found his helmet. he runs out there and he goes after it. And that's how his NFL career started. So they're without three starting offensive linemen, their entire right side. They're all pro center, Pouncey gone, hip surgery gone. Trey Turner's gone, Brian Bulaga's gone. The whole right side is out. They've lost Derwin James in the secondary. They've lost Melvin Ingram. Joey Bosa was at about 40% health against Breeze in that offense and still impacted the game a little bit. So they're running on fumes. I mean, they've lost their playmakers on defense. They've lost, you know, three offensive linemen. I mean, the Chiefs are looking at an offensive line that has not probably met the expectations going into the season, and thus we know that Mahomes has not maybe had the kind of start statistically, even though they're, you know, he's phenomenal in almost everything he does, but he's getting hit a little bit, and that offensive line is everything, especially for a young quarterback. And, you know, I mean, they've shortened the playbook for Herbert at Los Angeles. He's playing, you know, with really one receiver, and that's Keenan Allen. The other guys are injured. Mike Williams is at about 40-50%. But he played the other night and had a couple spectacular catches. So I say let's let this kid get some breathing space. I like him. And you know what? As I was saying earlier this week, the knowledge of Pac-12 football in the country is minimal at best. And he was the sixth overall pick. He was the Rose Bowl MVP, and I don't think people really had a good handle on him. And there was a lot of differing opinion coming out of, you know, his senior year at Oregon. How is he quick enough? Are his feet good enough? Is he too tall? Is he, you know, he's 6'6"? So I think there were just a lot of questions about size and mobility, and he doesn't change his expression. Like, he could throw an interception and go to the bench, and it's like the kid – doesn't change, but I think it's going to serve him well.
Do you have a quarterback you compare him? I'm sorry to interrupt you, Kevin. Because we played that game and we came up with all these different guys, a ceiling of this guy to a floor of this guy, and then tried to peg him in there. And the names that were being thrown around were upsides of Dan Marino, right? You know, but then we talked about Jay Cutler and Jeff George because he is kind of stoic in how he goes about things. We talked about Andrew Luck, Matt Ryan. My prediction on what it was, we finally had to say a guy that we think his quarterback will, that we think his career will mirror, and I said Carson Palmer.
I can't disagree with that. I think maybe Joe Flacco you could put in there on the better side of Flacco. Flacco, you know, kind of the same size. I think Flacco's 6'5", shows little to no emotion. Had one incredible postseason with 11 touchdowns and no interceptions. They got him a $127 million contract, but he was a winner and had a Super Bowl title. I think he might have a better arm than Flacco, but Flacco's arm in some ways is kind of underappreciated. So I don't know. Palmer, I can't disagree with that. Flacco, maybe just because of the size element and the lankiness and the long ball. But it's going to be interesting to see what they do with this kid and if he's got the right people in his head, you know, because coaching at this stage of your career is just vital because you set so much of what you become when you first get into the fray. And this is not ideal. He's not any of it, you know. First of all, there was no preseason. Everything was virtual. He had limited time at training camp because they're getting Tyrod Taylor ramped up because he was taking the place of Rivers. So the kid did not see the kind of snaps with the first team that Tyrod saw. And really, in a perfect world, Tyrod Taylor, who's 31, was going to quarterback this year. This Herbert was going to get spot duty. And then he was going to, you know, probably just ease into it. And that's not what happened. So you now throw out that whole game plan and you dummy down is not the right term, but you cut and alter and edit your playbook because he's just so young with no preseason games, little training camp, no OTAs. And, you know, he's operating from such a behind the odd wall that you could possibly want to bring a rookie quarterback with a lot of promise and a high stature in the draft into your program.
We're talking to Kevin Harlan here in the program. How concerned do you get, or should Chiefs fans be, over the loss to the Raiders. There was Monday, I opened the show after hearing a lot of the conversation during the day with calm down. I mean, there was a, kind of this feeling that, oh, this wasn't just a regular loss. This was like a special loss that should really concern us. And I don't know that that's possible after you've won 13 consecutive games with a championship in the middle and four wins to start the next season. I don't think it's possible for that to be a special loss. Am I missing something?
No, I think what's happening is there's been a lot of study by these coordinators on Mahomes and the offense, and now they've added a whole new wrinkle with Bell, which I applaud. That's what championship teams do. They just keep getting stronger. They add more layers, make it more difficult. I think he's, you know, you need two good running backs in this league. Now the Chiefs have got him. I don't think Bell was even close to what he could be with the Jets. I don't know if it was the offense. I don't know what it was, but I think they just geared everything. There's no playmaker on the Jets except for Bell, and everything was tilted toward him. So let's just kind of hit the pause button on what he did in New York. But he did miss a full season after sitting out with the Steelers. I don't know that he is what he was with Pittsburgh. Yeah, last year we saw him, but I think he's better, far better than what we saw with the Jets. But I do think that, you know, the Chargers kind of opened up this book on how to play Mahomes, and Belichick extended it. And I would tell you that they're zeroing in on ways to be respectable dealing with Patrick. I think teams are finally now over the, wow, what are we going to do? The gee whiz factor is probably gone, although I think he'll continue to expand his game and he'll make adjustments, as will Andy, with the offense. But the zone is much more prominent. We're just seeing teams play him a little bit differently, and he's feeling it. And the line, as I began earlier, the line has not done what they were hoping it could do after last season. We know they're missing a couple starters. And the guard is gone. He decided to opt out this year. I mean, it's just a little bit different. So, but this is a chess game that goes on in the NFL. You give these coordinators enough time, they figure stuff out. They're smart people, and they spend all their off hours thinking about studying what they do, you know, what works, what doesn't. They throw out a lot, they add a little, and they stick to what they think they can do best with the personnel they have. And that's what Mahomes is seeing. And this team is getting everybody's best shot. Like, there's no off week for them. Like, every opponent they play, and that's what happens when you're a champion. And it didn't happen really until this year, because they mm-hmm. knew Mahomes was great. They knew the team was explosive. They knew it was climbing and ascending. But once you're a champion, you're viewed in a whole different way. And the Chiefs have got that target now every single week. It's the biggest game on everybody's schedule, and they're getting the best punch that every team can deliver every game. And that tires you out, which makes you appreciate what champions have done, you know, the year after they've won, what the Patriots have done, what other teams have done. And it shows you that maybe a team like the Rams or Atlanta that has made it to the Super Bowl, Philadelphia, they maybe don't have the depth, they don't have the character, they don't have whatever, because they were getting the team's best shots, and they failed, right? They failed. They made the Super Bowl. They either won or lost, but they got that prominent position. They were on that pedestal, and then it became a big game for every team the next year, and they failed. And the Chiefs are now going through that right now. They've been to the big game. They won the big game, and now they're getting everybody's best punch, and they're getting their best counterpunch. And it's Chiefs week, and that's a big deal for the opponent. So this is gonna linger all season long. This isn't going away. They're not gonna have that, oh, we can exhale game. It's not gonna be there. So, you know, these guys, they spent the first part of the pandemic when the Chiefs were on the schedule. I'm gonna study that offense. I'm gonna delve deep into Patrick Mahomes, and they're just maybe better equipped to do it because they've had an off season, especially within this division, to do it. Like Trent and I next week have the Denver game. And I guarantee it, Denver's going to come out, and they're going to throw with Vic Fangio, they're going to come out, and they're going to throw different looks at Patrick in that offense. So this is going to be a fascinating season for Chiefs fans to watch how teams attack the team. But every week, you're going to get everything they've got to offer and every emotional ounce they can throw into that game in prep.
Yeah, and in reality, what's going to matter is the second half for the Chiefs, just as that's what it was that mattered last year. Although I will say, just having the one bye week is maybe an incentive to be sharper early on. But in the end, it's how you finish, not how you start. And by the way, 4-1 is not a bad start in the NFL. So let's get to our Final Four. Kevin Harlan, the voice of America, is with us on our T-Mobile guest line. Of course, our Final Four is brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. You have an urgent orthopedic or sports injury, the University of Kansas Health System can see you quickly. They've added extended hours during the week and have a Saturday morning walk-in clinic in OP. Request an appointment at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. Kevin, I will start you with this. Do you own a hoodie with the sleeves cut off?
I do not have a hoodie. No, I don't have a hoodie, and I certainly don't have the arms cut off. No, I'm sleeves are on, and no hoodie.
Yes, Kevin. I don't know why. So I see you raking the leaves in a cardigan.
Well, I do enjoy raking leaves. I'm not wearing a cardigan, but that's an idea. Okay. That's a thought.
Okay,
I might do it.
Just something to consider. Just something to consider. Okay. All right. Next up, do we get all 256 games in the regular season?
I don't know that we're going to get all the games in. I don't know if I could say that. And I would not be surprised if they reshuffle schedules and they would put maybe an emphasis on conference and maybe even division games that remain in a different part of the – I don't know. I just don't know. And I think it's week to week with this league, and they're doing the best they can. Under the circumstances, I applaud them for getting this deep into it. But I think logic and common sense would probably tell you if you're not going to be in a bubble and control every moment, then you're flirting with a pause in the season. And I don't think it's out of line to say that there may be a pause and they may not get in every game this year that's on the schedule.
All right, excluding any home airports, any airports that you would consider your home airport, what is your favorite airport?
Well, I got a bunch. I like a lot of them. There are many I like, and I'm excited for the one they're building in Kansas City. I'm hopeful it's like some of the better ones in the country, and everything says that it will be like that. I think some smart people put this together, and I applaud them for what they've done. So far, I drove by it this morning, and it's taking shape, and it looks like it's going to be phenomenal. I like O'Hare because I've got options. If a flight is canceled, I usually have a backup. The problem in the pandemic has been late night flights have been axed, so your flexibility is really limited. Unlike before, where you could always dig up a flight, even if it was kind of a weird way to get there. There was always a way, and now it's not quite as you're not quite as nimble. But I do like O'Hare for that reason, and that there are multiple airlines to almost every city. It's one of the five airports in the world that can get you to every continent in the world. There are only five in the world, and O'Hare is one of them. Heathrow is another one. I think Dubai is the third. There are two more, and maybe Frankfurt. I'm not sure. Maybe it was Hong Kong. Anyway. But O'Hare is one of them, and I know that I can literally get any place if a flight is significantly delayed or I was really in trouble.
All right, I like that. I will take it. And finally, how many titles, when it's all said and done, does LeBron James win?
I think he's got one more left in him. I mean, he's 36, and, Father Time is always undefeated. And I guess it will depend on how much he'll curtail his game to fit his age and what he does best, and I think he's definitely smart enough to do that. So I think he's got another 4 years left, and I think he's always going to tell people that he can play till into his 40s. I think he wants to play with his son, Bronny, who's one of the top 25 high school players in the country. I think he's a sophomore or junior. I think he's about that age. I think he wants to play with his son if possible. And I think he can get another Anthony Davis-type player out in Los Angeles. I think he's got one more. And I think he wants to equal with Kobe. He has four now, right? Four titles.
Yep.
10 finals appearances, four titles. Kobe had five. Michael had six. Russell had 11. I don't think he's going to reach that. But I do think if he could tie Kobe as a Laker, it would be significant in his mind because he grew up idolizing both Jordan and Kobe. And if he could equal Kobe, I think he'd think that was pretty special, pretty historic, pretty self-fulfilling. So I think he's got at least one more. But I know he wants to play with his son. And his son sounds like he's going to be, if not LeBron, a shade under it, and he could play perhaps right out of high school.
Bronny James, number 19 nationally on the 24/7 sports ranking, number 4 combo guard in the country. And he is, you are right, as you always are, Kevin, he is a sophomore. so we take it as gospel when it comes out of your mouth. Kevin, always great talking to you, my friend. You are the best in the business. Safe travels. Have a great calls this weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Well, thank you, Saran. Enjoy the weekend here. Trent and I have got a Bronco game next week, and then we've got a home game against the Jets. So we're going to see the Chiefs two consecutive weekends.
Nice.
And as I was saying to Trent, how lucky are we that we get to do the Super Bowl champs two straight weeks, one of which is in our hometown. So we feel lucky, and we can't wait for that. And enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk to you next Friday. I always enjoy our conversations. Take care.
You are the man. Take care. Kevin Harlan, the best in the business from CBS, TNT, and Westwood One. We'll come back and give you the kicker.
We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the program.
But first, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. Aaron Boone's pennant-winning walk-off home run 17 years ago tonight. Who hit the most recent walk-off homer in a winner-take-all game? It was Edwin Encarnacion, Toronto against Baltimore, 2016 wild card game. That was the infamous Where Was Zach Britton game.
Ooh, very good. I like that. I like even more Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. 47th Mission, 119th in Stringline, and 117th in Row. Get some today. Easiest way to get it, that Joe's Kansas City Barbecue app. Download it on your phone. Order up curbside in just about a minute. You can get anything you want, whether it's the Z-Man, whether it's that Rocket Pig sandwich, my absolute favorite, some ribs, some burnt ends, whatever you want, Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. You can order it right there on the app. All right, for the kicker, let's give you this one. A lot of talk about what kind of teammate is Le'Veon Bell. Let's go to a former teammate on Pat McAfee's show. Former Steeler offensive lineman Roman Foster said the image of Bell as a bad locker room guy, that's not accurate.
So the thing about Le'Veon is this. He's not a bad locker room guy. I don't want that narrative to be out there. The situation that we had with him was more or less like, well, I thought you were all in. Okay, so and the business side of it just happened. That's all it was. Le'Veon's a good dude. We talked after the Jets game last year. So to say he's a bad locker room guy, no. He's going to be a guy that's going to be a fun guy. He's a guy that's going to kick a freestyle, we know, because he's a rapper now. And however they can use him, they're going to. And I think he's going to buy into it, man. You guys know the situation in New York with the Jets. Like, they look like they were just going to bury this guy, and he has a whole lot of talent. I don't know if he's going to be huge in the running back position. Le'Veon's ability to be a pass catcher, to be, hey, okay, yo, we're lining him up in the backfield, but we're going to motion him out to be able to catch. Like, in the slot, that's where they're going to be able to murder guys. I do think the concept of the rich getting richer, that's simply what happened in Kansas City right now. If you're asking me, a perennial Pro Bowler, All-Pro guy, where am I going? I saw the list of – it was Bills, Chiefs, and Dolphins. Like, I'm picking the Chiefs. that's a no-brainer. When I saw the list of three, I was like, yeah. But him going to Pittsburgh, I just think it ran its course. And not to say there'll be any bad blood, because it's not. We all dapped up, laughed, had a good time after the Jets game last year. So there's no bad blood. It's just that, hey, this has gotten away and it just fractured, but it's all good now.
Bell, not a bad guy. This according to one of his former teammates, right? Things maybe didn't go the way they wanted in Pittsburgh. It was a business thing. He sat out. They didn't like that. But at the end of the day, he is not a bad guy in the locker room. So you can cross that off as a reason to not go after Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell is a Kansas City Chief, and according to Ramon Foster, he will fit in very well both in the locker room and on the field. That's going to do it for us. Have a great weekend, everybody. We will see you back here 2 o'clock Monday.